What's going on, everybody? Big show today. We're going to get into NIL. John Garcia is coming back on the show. Is NIL kind of the end of being able to competitively recruit for non-blue bloods? We're going to get into that. Quarterback recruiting, big question marks there for Wisconsin in this cycle. We're going to get into that as well. All that and more in today's Locked On Badgers.
You are Locked On Badgers, your daily podcast on the Wisconsin Badgers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey guys, welcome to Locked On Badgers. Thanks again for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. So happy and humbled to have all you guys here on the podcast, on YouTube, giving us a lot of love. Really appreciate it. As promised, guys, we are bringing John Garcia, the always insightful John Garcia, back on the show, Sports Illustrated Recruiting Director. We're just going to jump into it, guys. One of the biggest topics, John, I was thinking about the way to word this. Every fan base has insecurities, right? You know, the blue bloods have insecurities, but a lot of insecurities for non-blue blood schools delve around the idea that we, and I say we because Wisconsin is not a blue blood. They're right below them, but they're not a blue blood, can't compete on the recruiting field. And now NIL is here. From a broad perspective, does NIL help or hurt that divide?
I think it helps because – how do you define blue blood, Ryan? Let me ask you a question.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. Blue blood is going to be the Ohio State, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama. I think there's only about eight of them. And I think the last couple in that list probably always shift. Like I would put Oklahoma in that list probably. I know some people wouldn't. And that next group of teams is going to be the Wisconsins. It's going to be the Michigan States.
Right. So I agree with you. I think it's kind of an evolving, ever-changing list that is mostly current, because sometimes you say blue bloods and people are like, Nebraska's a blue blood. I'm like,
right.
So yeah, Tennessee, like, no. So yes, I agree with you. Blue bloods, as I define them, is very similar to you. So I think those schools are always going to be able to recruit, right? They're always going to have top of the line resources, able to sell winning talent, NFL, NIL, everything. They'll be able to sell everything always. So that's, we don't need to talk much about it. But for that second group, whatever we call that next tier, which is where Wisconsin lies, and that's where Tennessee and Texas A&M and some of these other schools, Miami, USC, have all been in that group, fluctuating one way or the other. That group, to me, is largely helped by NIL, because now it is something that can be stabilized at some of these programs. We've certainly seen it at A&M. We're starting to see it a lot now at Tennessee, Miami, and even football and basketball. There was an $800,000 deal that went public earlier this week. So they're catching up in recruiting because of some of these circumstances. So I think NIL largely helps these second-tier programs to compete, to have the chance to move up. Obviously, every school is different in terms of the resources they can produce, but it's also a good time to remind people that they can't come from the schools themselves. You know, NIL is through the schools, mm-hmm. but not from the schools. So they can't propose any of these deals with players. All they do honestly is send it to compliance, because they just have to make sure it's legal, and that's kind of it. So it's always worth refreshing that fact, because a lot of people think, well, Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher, they're just giving out NIL deals. Like, it's not that simple. It can't actually come from the school or the coaching staff. So that's important to note. But largely, other than that, I do think NIL helps this group of school to compete with the blue blood schools, because now that option of the blue blood is countered with something that is a little bit more reachable from a playing time standpoint, maybe from a rural standpoint in terms of the city, the college town, like Madison could appeal a little bit more. So now on top of that, now you've got, you know, a financial ability to profit at a school which has a better path to playing time, has more resources available for you to see the field sooner with some sustained success and consistency. So I do think it helps those schools the most in terms of improving where they're already at, because obviously the blue bloods, they can't go up from where they're at.
I think that's an interesting point. And I love that you're talking us off the ledge here. Wisconsin can still recruit in 2023 and forward. Not that people were saying that, but there is, like, again, fans have insecurities, right? And recruiting at Wisconsin is one of those things. I want to ask you this. Is this really just a legalization in some ways? And I know this is a broad stroke, but a legalization of what's been happening for the last 20 years anyway?
Yes, it is. It's, again, it's not as simple as that, but certainly it is just legalizing a portion, I'll say a portion of the recruiting process that has been prevalent in college football and college sports forever, right? This has always been a thing. And look, cheating is still a thing. Let me like make that clear. Like, these deals outside of NIL are still happening at certain programs with certain people. That's probably always going to be the case, right? Because why would I sign something that takes me 12 months to accumulate if I could accumulate it in a McDonald's bag, right? So, you know, those are still issues. But in theory, the gap is closing between the schools that operate in the legal space and totally in the illegal space. And there's a little bit more of a clear view of what programs can provide and what kids can accept should they attend certain programs. So I do think that it legalizes a lot of the shady parts of the process, but not all of them, certainly.
Is this, I don't know, if for the basketball guys out there, several years ago, the NBA had a salary cap jump in one offseason and teams went nuts. They spent a ton of bad money and then they regretted it. I feel like, and I want you to jump in on this because you're definitely the expert here. I feel like some of this is happening now. There's a bit of a feeding frenzy. NIL's new. We're seeing these gigantic deals. I mean, there are rumors of a five-star getting a multi-million dollar deal, yeah. Right? I think, and this is just my take on it, just my opinion. I think people are going to start, it's going to start fading off a little bit just in the sizes, because a lot of kids don't pan out and it's a big investment.
Well, and that the part that you just said is where it hits most. Kids don't pan out. So from the kids' perspective, what if you're not panning out at that school, but you signed this multi-year deal and you want to hit the portal? Like with Quinn Ewers, right? He was at Ohio State for six mm-hmm. months and now he's at Texas. $1 million kombucha deal, whatever it was. Where did he get all that money? How does that work within the deal itself? So yeah, I agree. The money's going to change. We're still less than a year into the whole NIL deal. I think it was July 1st of last year. So we're still less than a year into kind of our data collection of the process itself. But yes, the money will change. It will always, the market always adjusts. It's just, it's American business 101. The market always adjusts. And these deals are certainly heavier now than they're probably going to be going forward. And then the stipulations are going to change as well, not just the cash, but now it's going to be more, in my opinion, more of a year-to-year thing than a, hey, 4 years, $800,000, $200,000 a year. Pick it up every December. Congratulations. We appreciate you. Don't forget to pay the IRS. I think it'll be more condensed and almost like a scholarship, right? We've seen a lot of scholarships become year-to-year things. I think the NIL deals will begin to reflect that as time goes on, because the circumstances change, the coaching staff changes, injuries change things. And then the player matures and develops and or has his own changes and maybe wants to hit the portal at some point as well. So all of that market correction is going to happen. We just been too excited about the big numbers so far to really jump into that.
Hey, do you think I want to finish up on this? Do you think you're going to see it become even more, like you said, kind of the year to year thing? Could even get down to the point of you're going to get this deal if you are the starting quarterback? You're going to get this deal if you are all Big Ten. You know, that's the amount of money. And then what does that do to team chemistry if people start having these NIL deals tied to the performance?
Yeah, I'm not sure if we're near the performance initiative part of it. But that second part about the teammates is already something that we're starting to see become a deal. I was at a high school earlier this week at a spring practice, and that's what came up. There was a college coach there. We were talking NIL. And they said, yeah, it's just so crazy. How do you come in with a quarterback who got however many million dollars and you got $0? How do you come in and feel comfortable about the direction of the offense, the program, and the playing time? What if you come in as a quarterback the next year without that deal? Is this kid automatically going to have favor with the coaching staff and the depth chart because he signed this huge deal that was very public and became – you know, this kind of fan sensation? What about the kid we're recruiting next year? So there is a concern from all angles of this thing. So it's still, like I said, we're still less than a year in. So we're still in the infancy of trying to figure out just what all of this means and or how it will change. But I think both of those answers will evolve over time.
That's great. Great questions. Great answers. Guys, we're going to continue on with this. I could talk, honestly, do this entire show on NIL questions I have, but we do want to move on to, we got some really good Badger-related stuff coming up. A couple of Badger targets, including a big-bodied running back that looks like, in my opinion, he's built for the Big Ten. So we're going to get into that next with John. But first, one of the sponsors of today's show is Built Bar. Built Bar has been awesome for me. It's a companion. I throw in my backpack. I go to the gym. I work out. Actually, this morning, I had the banana cream pie one. Delicious, light. Not something that sits in your stomach and makes you feel like you're trying to push a rock up a hill. You know, it's 17 grams of protein. So, you know, you're feeding your body, you're getting good stuff inside you, but it's not a chore to eat. Listen, we've all ate the other protein bars out there. We're not going to say any names, but a lot of them don't taste like their food, right? Straight up. It tastes like you are trying desperately to find something healthy. Built Bar is a combination of the two. You got taste and you have nutrition. Absolutely hard to beat. They're doing it right. And they built a community, not just that Locked On, but a community in the fitness industry around this idea that you don't have to sacrifice taste to get a healthy protein bar. So Built Bar, again, get the variety pack. That's what I've been doing. You get a bunch of different flavors in one box and you just mow through them. I have the recurring purchase on Amazon coming to my house twice a month. It has been awesome for me. And I highly recommend you guys try it. I don't think you'll regret it. Go to built.com, promo code LOCK15. And you're getting to get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. Thanks, guys, again, for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. NFL Draft is now. You're not going to find better coverage than on the Locked On Network. Our industry-leading lineup of experts and insiders, guys like Matt Williamson, Brian Peacock, guys that do this for a living, know what they're talking about. All coverage, all 3 days, Locked On NFL Draft. You're going to find it here. It's the best coverage you're going to get anywhere. It's that time of the year, guys. I love it. I'm excited to tune in to Locked On to see what they have to say about all the picks. So definitely tune in to see that. And we're going to continue our conversation with John Garcia, Sports Illustrated Recruiting Director. John, a couple prospects that Wisconsin has really started to target, I want to specifically talk to you about. The first one is outside linebacker Jordan Mayer, 6'4", 230-pound kid out of Pennsylvania. Did you get a chance to look at him? What do you think?
Yeah, I actually broke down his tape for Locked On Boston College a few weeks ago. This Bummer is an interesting, them. Yeah, I know, interesting edge commitment for them at the time with a lot of upside and natural ability at the position. I think he's got more work to do from a physical standpoint, filling out just 230 pounds right now. And technically, he'll tighten up as time goes on for sure. But ultra productive coming out of Pennsylvania and was really a staple of the Boston College class until he decommitted on the 22nd. And it was like on Twitter, he decommitted. And then the next post was, I just got this offer from Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So now the Badgers are in it. He immediately takes the visit up to Madison. And the Badgers look like they're right in the thick of it for one of the premier edge rushers that is recently back on the market. And I think it'll be interesting. We really see things go two ways with kids who make decommitments and then immediately pick up a quote-unquote big offer and take a visit. Either the flip happens quickly, where there's a commitment immediately after that point in the days and weeks to follow, or the kid has already made one commitment and he kind of takes a whole step back, like a whole collective step back, and says, okay, let me start from scratch, reset this whole thing, and see who's interested now and or still from before. So I think that's probably just talking to those around the kid, probably more in the direction that he'll go. I think he'll go a little bit slow, see who comes into the fold with scholarship offers, if he can take visits, things like that, and then go from there. But there's no doubt that I think the Wisconsin offer alone played a part into that Boston College decommitment. And that's the position you want to be at. You want to be the new trending school that has his attention to the point where he decided that being committed to another school was incorrect for him and what it projects. So I think the Badgers are obviously not in the driver's seat, but near the driver's seat in this recruitment basically immediately, which is really hard to do.
Let me ask you something. You mentioned something that I found interesting. I just want to pick it out of there. And I don't know if it was purposeful or not. You mentioned the new kind of big offer. Is Wisconsin, among people who cover recruiting, specifically guys like you who do this for a living, is a Wisconsin offer at the point where it's considered a big offer? I mean, I know it's not Alabama, but does that carry more weight than a lot of schools?
I think so, especially on defense, right? I mean, I think there's certain positions where it feels big in certain areas, and for some, it's on an entire side of the football. Like if Oklahoma offered you an offense the last decade, you're like, that's a big offer. Like I feel you can kind of understand that. Wisconsin on defense, I think, has some of those same connotations. And again, it forces action, right? I mean, I think in one case, it can force an instant verbal commitment. It can force, hey, I need to take this visit immediately, which is what happened in this case. You can tell when offers are big because plans change right when they come in. And I think this is a great example of that.
Recruiting cliche time. Again, I've veered off a tiny bit from our plan, but I'm going to ask you this too, because this has been a question people who follow recruiting have always asked. Recruiting bumps. You know, someone's committed to school A, they're a three-star-ish kid. School B comes in and offers them, and suddenly on some recruiting service, they're a four- or five-star kid. There's probably middle ground here, like we talked about before. There's data points and everything, right? Recruiting bumps, do they exist? Do you give a recruiting bump at a certain school, or do you just look at the film a little closer if a certain school becomes interested?
That's what it's supposed to be, what you just said. It's supposed to – some of those offers are validators, right? If it's Brian Hartline recruiting a wide receiver and you're not very high on him and you see that offer come in and you know it's legit, you know you check your sources, you should, as an evaluator, say, am I not seeing something? You should at least take another look. Now, what happens after that is kind of on you. But I think we see it a little bit more tangibly with kids who kind of come out of nowhere, right? Where it's like nobody was covering this kid. And then, you know, Clemson offers and all of a sudden he's got 10 more offers, another star and all of this. A lot of times, you know, that makes more sense because he was a relative unknown before he was at a camp or something like that. But on the flip side, as you mentioned, it's more of a checking your own notes kind of process, at least for me. I can't speak for others. But these bumps do exist one way or the other. Even if it comes off of you taking your own second look, it was still predicated by an offer or a commitment that really has nothing to do with the kid's game. But again, I think that's okay. I think that should be understood by fans. I've told you, everything's a data point in the evaluation business. So it includes who's courting you. You know, if you're a quarterback and the offers are from, you know, Alabama, Texas, you know, Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day, like probably a really good quarterback, you know, just on the outset. So those things do matter. You know, we are often criticized in this industry for reacting and almost being human when all the other parts of the industry are very inhumane. It's very numbers and data driven and statistically driven and height and weight and hand size and speed and agility, to where, you know, we're almost robotic to those numbers, a slave to the numbers. So when we actually project something, you know, humane, we get criticized for it. So it's kind of funny how that goes, but I'm all for more human component, more logistical reaction as opposed to statistical.
And it's one of the reasons I love having you on the show. Like I love that answer, and I totally agree. Like there's certain people who are so good, and it's not just a sports thing, right? If Google hires some programmer, he's probably a pretty good programmer, you know?
That person's salary is going up whether they go to that job or not, right?
You probably identified talent that's been overlooked. So I agree with that, by the way. I just think it's funny that's become such a contentious point at times among fans. And I get why, right? Everyone thinks that recruiting experts favor someone, their rival school, over them. Hey, I want to quickly touch on, and we're running, I always run out of time before I run out of questions with you, John, man. That's why I love having you on. But I do want to touch on a running back, too, that Wisconsin has really jumped in on, Jaquez Keys. I believe I'm saying that right. 6'1", 200-pound kid. I love the frame. He looks like a Big Ten running back to me. He's from Irontown, Ohio. Like the school sounds like a Big Ten school.
Yes, it
does. So what'd you think of him?
Yeah, attitude player. Just a tone setter on the offensive side of the ball. Throwback, Big Ten, whatever you want to label him, he fits that mold. Breakout junior season, over 2,000 total yards he accounted for. And he's starting to blow up a little bit too. He just got the Wisconsin offer, and that's something that you know, he was really waiting on, right? I know he told one outlet Wisconsin's the leader, but yesterday Iowa came in, a very similar school from a profile perspective. So we're still waiting to see how these new offers have affected his recruitment, but this is the time of year where kids start to see change on their offer list, right? It's spring practice season. coaches are able to hit the road as of mid-April. So now they're getting eyeball 6-1, 2-10 and saying, oh, crap. Like, I need to make a phone call to my coordinator or my head coach. Like, hey, we need to take another look at this kid. And then that's the process that's happening right now for Keys. But Wisconsin was the first big school. We've talked about how the Badgers trust their own evaluations, which is really important in building and developing talent. So they weren't afraid to be the first Power Five school to jump in on Keys. They did it happily, and I'm assuming they would take his verbal commitment should he make that phone call today. So I love schools that buy into their own philosophy and don't wait around and say, well, his biggest offer is Toledo. I'm good. I'll wait until I see him as a senior. Well, you'd be too late in that regard. Right. So, you know, kudos to Wisconsin for that. And I think that's going to play well to Keys, because in different stages of recruiting, you really remember landmark moments. Your first offer, your first Division I offer, your first Power Five offer really hits when you become a Power Five recruit. So that will always be Wisconsin for Keys. And at that position, especially what they've done recently in terms of playing young guys and all of that, you gotta feel like it's a positive for the Badgers for sure.
Yeah, you're gonna get the rock there at Wisconsin. If you yes. bring the goods, you're gonna get the rock. Coming up, guys, we have one more segment. Again, John is so gracious with his time. We're gonna talk quarterback recruiting and where Wisconsin at quickly, get a snapshot of where that position sits. But first, guys, today's show is also brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is the number one source for all your sports online betting needs, information, podcasts, newsletters, everything you want to look at from a sports wagering standpoint is at BetOnline. I love this site. It's easy to use. Again, we talk about building communities all the time in relation to this show and our sponsors. They're sponsors for a reason. We believe in what they do. We use what they do. You know, BetOnline has built a community around being at the forefront of sports information, sports wagering, and you can also get your online Vegas games there, roulette, blackjack. Everything you want to do is on one site. The site's easy to use, and it's a great time to get in, guys. NBA playoffs is full kick. Baseball's starting, right? It's a couple weeks into it now, a month into it. You have NFL futures, right? If you have a really good lead on AFC-NFC championship games, I've been telling you, you know, if you believe in Trey Lance is going to be at least the same as Jimmy Garoppolo. The 49ers almost won the NFC last year with Jimmy Garoppolo. You can get the 49ers at great value now if you're a Trey Lance guy. So look into some of those futures. If you have a lead, it's a great time. Just a couple bucks. You can have a lot of fun with it. Go to the website today. Use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. Bet online where the game starts. And thank you guys again for making Lockdown Badgers your first listen every day. We're going to bring John back in. John, I want to finish up on quarterback recruiting. Wisconsin was in pretty heavy on J.J. Cole. He committed to Iowa State, so he lost out there. What can you tell us about where they're at now?
Total reset. We just talked about it with perception, but I think Wisconsin is there in recruiting the quarterback position, and that's what's so tough about recruiting that spot. When you're in on a guy and he makes a choice elsewhere, a lot of times you can almost visibly see kind of the reset going on, because there's only a couple quarterbacks out there that are uncommitted and that have offers from Wisconsin, and neither is going to Wisconsin. Sorry, Badgers fans. Dante Moore, Avery Johnson, not going to happen. But JJ was this big athletic quarterback, so you wanted a different element to that at 6'6", 6'7", however tall JJ is. Well, there is a quarterback that they're interested in that's starting to pick up momentum with a similar athletic profile. His name's Brady Dragosh. He's out of Michigan. De La Salle High School. He won a state championship last year. Legitimate dual threat to the point where he actually ran for more yards than his passing total. So not the typical, I guess, perceptional Wisconsin mm-hmm. quarterback. So if dual is the goal here, I think Brady could be one to watch. Closer to home, Chase Spellman makes a ton of sense. This kid has been in communication with the coaching staff for quite some time. He told me this morning the communication has picked up in recent weeks. He said he just got Bobby Ingram's number, and they're building their own relationship. He's an in-state kid from Kettle Moraine. He just visited this last weekend. So there's certainly some momentum building there. No scholarship offer out to Chase yet, but this is a lifelong Badger fan. So obviously, if and when it comes, it's going to be something that plays well into his recruitment. And he's looking to get healthy first. You know, understandably, tearing his labrum at the end of the 2021 season, teams want to see how he throws, how he rebounds from that. So he had the surgery. He's about 5 months, you know, removed from that surgery, and he's going to throw this summer at camps at Wisconsin. He mentioned Georgia, Texas, a couple other schools really want to see him throw as they build out their quarterback board. So this might not be a no-brainer for Wisconsin, you know, in and of itself. He's not all in on just the Badgers. He's going to test that arm out and showcase it for different coaching staff. So I would say Dragosh, Chase Spellman, probably the two quarterbacks to keep an eye on if you want to cast a wider net. Sam Levitt from Oregon had some initial interest from the Badgers. And then Bennett Judy of South Carolina is one that is similar to Dragosh, where he's picking up momentum as he continues to take visits. So if he gets up to Madison for a camp, that could be one to keep an eye on as well. So it's a deep quarterback year in 2023. It's going to work out for the Badgers. Just a matter of who and when, but there are still some options out there, even as Cole moves on.
Well, you know, it's interesting with Ingram coming in, having that experience with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, the dual threat might be a direction that he's bringing to the offense. Just something to file away kind of in the back of the head. Hey, I want to get you out on this because I know we're short on time, but with Spellman particularly, if healthy, if fully recovered, you know, is his physical tool set good enough to be, you know, a good college starting quarterback at a Power Five conference, in your opinion?
I think it is. You know, he's a big kid, 6'2", 6'3", over 200 pounds, and he's tough. You know, obviously playing through a torn labrum, that says more than I could ever explain. But even his film, he's willing to stand in there, take some punishment, step in the throws when the pass rush is bearing down on him. I like some of those intrinsic qualities he brings. He's a winner, deep playoff run last year, 30 touchdowns that he accounted for as well. The arm is good. It's not otherworldly, but it's good enough to push to the third level. And he's got great anticipation and timing. So the instincts, the in-between the ears appear to be there with Spellman. So I'm becoming more of a fan as I look into him a little bit more.
Great, great insight as always, man. That's why we love having you on the show. We've got a bunch of good feedback. Where can people find you, John?
Yeah, si.com/college or on social media, just search my name, John_JR.
All right, guys, that is our show today. Thank you again for, as always, big thanks out to John. We try to keep him coming on as much as he can stand us, you know, so hopefully we keep doing that. Thanks to everyone for making Locked On Badgers your first listen every day. Remember, NFL Draft is coming up. Locked On NFL Draft. Tune into that for all the coverage there. Thank you guys so much, and we'll talk to you next week.